Well, today on CMDA Matters, I have a repeat guest. In fact, this is his third time on the program, Reverend Stephen Coe, who, listen to this, has MD, MA, MPH, and MDiv. And it's not too long ago that I learned you could give him an M clown degree because he's actually a professional clown. But be that as it may, imagine he serves as senior pastor of New York Chinese Alliance Church in New York, New York. He's an ordained Christian and Missionary Alliance pastor. He's passionate about evangelism, global health missions, and because of that, he's spoken a couple of times at our CMDA Healthcare Leadership Missions Summit in Charlotte. Very interested in holistic ministry as exemplified by the life of Jesus Christ. In addition to seminary training, Dr. Coe's healthcare specialties include pediatrics, preventive medicine, and public health. He is currently adjunct professor at Alliance Theological Seminary. Previously, he also has been a global health professor at Boston University's School of Public Health and served for some time as a medical officer for the CDC. He's worked extensively in Africa and Southeast Asia on diseases of epidemic potential, I believe including Ebola, helping low and middle income countries implement their national public health programs. He enjoys helping individuals flourish in their faith, and that includes mentoring church leaders and galvanizing faith-based organizations like CMDA to action. And with his writing, he really focuses at the intersection of faith, medicine, and public health. Well, Reverend Coe, welcome to CMDA Matters. And it was just a little over a year ago that you sent me a copy of your Christianity Today article that a bad disease was coming our way and the church needs to get ready and make a difference. Welcome back today.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Dr. Chup. And who would have thought that a year later we would still be dealing with COVID today? But thank you so much for this opportunity to weigh in.
Well, let's jump right in. And by the way, I've got with me our Senior Vice President for Bioethics and Public Policy, and he's come on board since our first interviews over a year ago. Welcome, Jeff.
It's good to be here with you, Mike.
Well, Jeff, of course, those who've been listening know that Jeff has been following very closely, especially vaccine issues. Had a podcast just a couple of weeks ago, actually, talking about vaccine hesitancy. So, Reverend Coe, with all of that background and different perspectives, what have we learned in healthcare, having gone now a year through this pandemic in the United States?
Well, there's been extraordinary collaboration and partnerships advancing translational science. We've been able to turn observations in the community and clinic into interventions to improve the health of individuals and populations at an astounding speed. Multilateral global public-private partnerships have led to scientific advances in testing, treatment, and prevention, which includes, as you mentioned, vaccine development. When I first saw the movie Contagion, I laughed at how quick vaccines were produced and distributed. But today it's a reality. For the first time, we've developed vaccines against novel pathogens within a year of their discovery, about a tenth of the time it usually takes. And these nucleic acid vaccines, which use a cell's existing infrastructure to manufacture defenses, are really poised to kickstart a golden era of rapid response vaccine development. But Mike, in contrast, the COVID pandemic has exposed underlying health and socioeconomic disparities, making existing gaps really more noticeable between resource-rich and resource-poor areas across the world, and really within countries. We see fundamental inequalities in the healthcare system, within access to knowledge, and psychosocial determinants of health, which play a role in differing morbidity, mortality, and long-term sequelae from infections in various communities.
We've talked in the past about all kinds of testing methods, and we've seen an incredible evolution of the way that we've tested for COVID-19. So, as this pandemic continues, we hope, certainly God willing, we get herd immunity and praise God, the day we can say it's a thing in our rearview mirror. But do you think things like drive-through testing, are we going to be seeing that in the future as sort of standard fare?
Well, drive-through testing may be reserved for more infectious agents to limit contagion and the spread of disease. But really, even pre-pandemic, large drugstore chains had already begun offering more point-of-care services within their pharmacies. Today, you can receive routine blood work or lab testing services at Walgreens through their partnership with LabCorp. And at certain CVS Minute Clinic locations, you can see a healthcare provider in addition to obtaining laboratory testing and receiving prescriptions. Really, we already have at-home HIV kits and pregnancy tests. And I wonder how much more prevalent at-home testing will be in the future. The truth is that technology is already here, but it's quite different if you want to know if you're pregnant versus analyzing your own genetic testing results.
Yeah. Stephen, as a physician and as a pastor, I'm curious to know what you think the church has done right and what have they done wrong during this pandemic?
Collectively, churches have done a wonderful job modeling the love of Christ within their communities. Many have shuttered their doors to worship, but still open their spaces for community outreach. We've seen churches transform into food distribution centers, fellowship halls convert to makeshift vaccination clinics. And even as churches struggle, most have valiantly attempted to be the hands and feet of Christ to those with greatest needs in their neighborhood. But on the flip side, just as COVID has exposed underlying healthcare disparities, it has magnified the gap between existing houses of worship. While megachurches in suburban areas have been left largely unscathed by the pandemic, the vast majority of American churches are small, with a median size of 75 regular participants on a given Sunday morning. Megachurches have the resources and technical savvy to fine-tune their existing virtual services while adopting online ministries. But smaller churches have struggled to reach their congregations with an online presence while facing budgetary shortfalls, layoffs, and the threat of bankruptcy or permanent closure. Personally, I've seen several churches in New York City permanently close their doors, while dear friends and colleagues have left the pastorate. And with this shift to virtual ministry, I believe we have an existential crisis of worship that is leading to an erosion of faith among Christians. Research from the Barna Group shows that among practicing Christians, 1 in 3 admit to not worshiping online at all. And almost 30% of devoted Christians say they take advantage of online options on days other than Sunday. Through reimagining what church looks like, we've lost the ministry of presence, the sanctity of worship, and the meaning of Sabbath.
Dr. Koh, a couple of weeks ago, Dr. Barrows and I were talking about misinformation regarding vaccines and about COVID-19 and how some of the mainstream media outlets have been really hard on evangelicals for maybe being a part of or partially to blame for spreading misinformation. From your perspective, is this valid criticism or is this just a narrative that's coming from the prince of the power of the air to make the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, look bad?
Yeah, it's a delicate issue, Dr. Chupp. Many of these evangelical leaders are pastoral colleagues, and I truly believe there is no ill intent or maleficence. However, generalized distrust of science and medicine has really become prevalent among Christians. In some ways, it's understandable given our overall response to the pandemic. This has resulted in a loss of credibility among federal institutions such as the CDC, NIH, and FDA, and among scientists, doctors, and academics as well. Really, our church is no different than any others. If you take the issue of vaccine hesitancy, it's real among our congregation, especially the elderly. A majority were not comfortable receiving the vaccine even when eligible. Questions abounded in regards to their safety and efficacy, whether they contained fetal issue, or if God was calling them to partake. And so it's really been a real and present danger, I think, within our community. And it's something that we really have to lean into, not only now, but in the future as well.
Well, Stephen, I have heard from several of our members kind of a a similar scenario, that here we are a year into the pandemic, and as healthcare professionals, they're frustrated with their church leadership. Either the leadership has ignored putting out and following just common sense things like social distancing and masking and that type of thing. Or even one physician wrote me and said, you know, I've been a part of this church for many, many years, and my church leadership never came to me as a physician to ask my advice how to approach. So they're in this church, they're seeing their church leadership completely ignore common sense things to protect the members of the congregation from this virus. And so what advice would you give them moving forward as we come out of that and as they try and deal with that frustration with their church leadership?
Yeah, such an important issue moving